Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ervin, Daf Lamed Dalet. We begin four lines from the top. Yesterday we had brought down a statement from Rav Yirmiyah, and Rav Yirmiyah had said, in the case of the basket, Shaini Kalkola, the case of the basket was different because you could adjust the basket, Hol V'yochol in Tosa, since you could adjust the basket from instead of being above 10 tefachim, you could bring it within tefachim to the ground by tilting the basket. Since you could do this, it makes the Erev allowable to be used because during the Banish Marshal's period of time, and that was actually able to be brought with only a din d'rabbanon, not a din d'araisa being over. And as we paskin like yesterday, like Rebbe, we said that any item that is also in the Ben HaShemashos is only midirabbanon, so therefore it doesn't take effect during the Ben HaShemashos. Therefore your Erev takes effect during that period of time, and it is a good Erev. Therefore, Rav Yirmiyah had said, since you could have Hov V'yochel and Tosa, you are allowed to assume that it was done, and it is good. That's Rav Yirmiyah's answer from yesterday's shiur. Now we question that. Esvei. Four lines on the top, Lamed Dalet Omed Aleph. Niskavin lishbos rishus harabin. If a person intended to make his shvisa in a rishus harabin, and the niach eruvo bekosel, and he puts his eruv inside a wall, you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai on page 82, starting with diagram number 27, or in the Illustrated Gemara on page 57, diagram number 169. These diagrams will be very helpful in understanding the shiur today. Now, you have this intention for your shvisa to be in the rishus harabim, but the eruv is inside the wall. So it depends where in the wall it is. And this is what we discussed in yesterday's shiur. L'matam esar tefachim, if it is lower than 10 tefachim, so then it's a perfectly good eruv. Eruv or eruv, because you are in that same rishus, you're in the rishus harabim, and the eruv is lower than 10 tefachim in the wall, so it is also considered a chorei rishus harabim, and it's considered like the rishus harabim. So you and your eruv are both in the same place, and therefore it's a perfectly good eruv. However, l'malam yutfachim, if the eruv is physically above 10 tefachim in the wall, so then that is not called chorei rishus harabim anymore, that is called the rishus hayochid, and you and your eruv are not in the same place, and therefore ein eruv eruv. It wouldn't be a good eruv in this situation. Now, that's the first part of this braisa. Niskavin lishbos beros tashovach, if you in fact wanted to make your mokum shvisa on top of a dove coat, in other words, you're higher above the ground, you're in a rishus hayochid, or the Rosh HaMigdol, or on top of some sort of a chest, and this chest is also more than 10 tefachim tall, and you can see this in all of the diagrams of the Pirush Chai on page 82, or you can see this very nicely illustrated in the diagrams in the Illustrated Gemara, diagram number 170. Now, in this situation, so you and your Erev are both above 10 tefachim, if the food is above 10 tefachim. So, l'malam yitzvachim, if the Erev was in the wall above 10 tefachim, so you're fine. Both you and the Erev in a Rishus HaYachid, Eruv or Erev. However, l'matam yutfachim, but if the Erev itself is physically lower than 10 tefachim, but you are above 10 tefachim, so then you and the Erev are not in the same place. You're in the Rishus HaYachid above the 10 tefachim, on the top of the chest, or in this dove coat, and your food, the Erev itself, is below 10 tefachim. That would be an Issa D'Raisa to carry from a Rishus Rabim into your Rishus HaYachid, therefore it's not accessible to you, and therefore it's not a good Erev. Again, this is all consistent with what we learned yesterday. But here's the question now. V'amai, why do we say that if the Erev is below 10 Tefachim and your chest is above 10 Tefachim, that it's not a good Erev because it's not accessible? According to the principle that Rav Yirmiyah outlined, you should be able to say, Hochanami. So to over here, just like yesterday, say Nema v'yochol in toso lahavio l'so chasari. You should be able to say, tilt it. Go and tilt the chest, and you can see this very nicely, again, in the Pirush Chai diagrams on page 82, diagram number 31, and in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 171 on page 57. So if Rav Yirmiyah was right yesterday, which we said was a valid teretz, that you view it as if the basket was tilted, so why don't we view the chest as being tilted also? Now it is tilted to under 10 tefachim, and now it's in the same rishus as your Erev, which is below 10 tefachim, and therefore you should be able to go and get it. So obviously Rav Yirmiyah is wrong. Shmuel says, no, I'm Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah say, I'm right. Ha-ha, you know why in this situation we don't say, ho-el v'yochel in toso? Because we're dealing here, b'migdal misumar askinan. Teretz number one is, we're dealing where it's attached to the wall via some sort of pegs. And you can see this in the diagram 32 in the Perish Chai on page 83, or in diagram number 172 on page 58 in the Illustrated Gemaras. So if it's attached to the wall, it's not physically able to be bent. You can't say, ho yochel and toso, l'avil toch hasara, if it physically can't be bent. So this would be the equivalent in the case of the kalkola, if the kalkola wasn't able to be bent. So then Rav Yirmiyah says it's obviously no good. So to over here, Rav Yirmiyah would say that we're dealing with a migdal that cannot be bent. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Rava Amar, afilu tamo migdal shein mesumar. Even if you're dealing with a chest that is not attached to the wall and it could be bent, but instead of having the wide-based type of a chest that we've discussed until now, we're dealing with a much taller chest. And you can see this illustrated in the diagram 173 on page 58 in the Illustrated Gemara. V'hocha b'migdal oruch haskin. We're dealing with a much taller type of a chest, which Rashi explains is harbe yoser midalat amos, much taller than dalat amos. So now when you tilt it, you're going to tilt it so far away from the loaf of bread, from the Erev that you have, that it's not going to be within dalat amos of it. V'hochav migdal aruch askinon di manti le purta, that if you go and lower it a little bit, so it's now going to be below 10 tvachim, ozil chutz l'arba amos, it's going to be beyond the arba amos. And the problem here would be that in this situation, you'd have to have two assumptions. You'd have to have, number one, that you're tilting it, and number two, that you're allowed to go and take it, dalat amos, pochus, pochus, mikishir. So there are two holes over here. Number one, hole that you have to go and tilt it, and hole that you have to carry it, pochus, pochus, dalat amos. So therefore, that is why this isn't acceptable. That's teretz number one that Rashi gives here. Teretz number two that Rashi gives, inami, you can see this about 10 lines up from the bottom in the long Dibra Maskil, Lamed Aleph. Now that's normally Lishna Achrina, but the Baha says that this is actually the word lo, and you just continue reading lo shamati, because there's two pshatim of Rashi here. I've explained this according to what Rashi says, v'ikar. This pshat right now that Rashi is giving here is the ikar one. So in this pshat, he has a second teretz, inami nimtze shvitzoso misrachekis arba amosov harishonas de'ein zem mekomo. He says, according to the second pshat, is that now you are not in the same place as your Erev. You want it to be at the very top of the Migdol. That's where you wanted your Mokash Visa. But now when you tilt it, you're more than Dalet Amos away. And therefore, you and your Erev are not in the same place. And that's why it's no good. In any event, that's how Rav Yirmiyah would be Teretz Tarp. Either he himself gave the Teretz or the Teretz that Rava just gave. Gemara says now, Hechi Dami, what exactly are we referring to over here? E the ika in this chest. E the ika kavsa umisna. If in fact you have kavsa, Rashi says that means a chalon, a window, a hole, and you can see this in diagram number 174 in the Illustrated Gemara, or in the Pirush Chai in diagram number 36. And in this situation, you have this chalon, this kavsa inside the side wall of the chest, or masna means a chevel, so you have a rope that's attached to the kikar that goes through the window, as you can see in the diagram 174, and up to the top of the chest where you are located. So now, this is only going to be an issur d'rabbanan. Even though the top is more than 10 tefachim of the chest, you're above 10 tefachim, so you're in a Rishus HaYochid area, and the kikar is below 10 tefachim, and that's in Rishus HaRabim area, and that would be an issur d'raisa, and even Rebbe wouldn't allow you to do that. But if it's attached to a rope, so then, this is something that we've learned previously would only be an issur d'rabbanan, because if you're holding on to a scroll and it rolls into the Rishus HaRabim, it's only an issur d'rabbanan to go and pull it back. It's not an issur d'raisa. And if we're dealing here again with the Bein HaShmashos, Rebbe would say that this is permissible because it's only a shvuz, and a shvuz during the Bein HaShmashos, period of time, doesn't take effect yet. So the Erev does take effect. So therefore, the Gemara asks, so Lysa Bekapsu Misna, you should be allowed to pull it there. And our host scenario where your Shvisa is on top of the chest and the Kikar, the Erev, is below 10 Tvachim, should be accessible because it's only in Issa Rabbanon, and Rebbe would say that it's good. So Mar gives the obvious answer, the Lesley Kapsu Misna, because we're not dealing over here with a window and a rope. So therefore, it is perfectly prohibited to do so because you're going from the Rishus HaRabim, where the kikar is, to the top of the migdol, your Rishus HaYochid, where your shvis is, and that would be an issur d'raisa, even the Bein HaShmashos, it's applicable. Now we finally go to the end of the Mishnah that we learned, where we said, the son of Bibar, if you put your Erev inside a pit, even if the pit was 100 Amma deep, so it's not a problem. Now the Gemara will have to explain why is it not a problem. The Gemara says, Hai bor, dekoi hecha. This bor that we're talking about, where is it located? As we'll see, there's three possibilities. The bor is located in the surrounding area is a Rishus Harabim. The bor is always going to be Rishus HaYachid. It's more than 10 Tvachim deep, and it's more than 4 by 4 Tvachim wide. So the bor itself is a Rishus HaYachid. But where is it located? This bor could either be located inside a Rishus Harabim, or it's located inside a Rishus HaYachid, or as we'll see, it's located inside a Carmelis. Those are the three possibilities that the Gemara will run through. So right now we're asking, hi bor, this bor, where is it located? The bor itself, again, is Rishus HaYachid. Very important to understand that. So, Dekoi Hecha, where is it now located? So, Ilema Dekoi Rishus HaYachid, if you're telling me that the bor itself is located in the Rishus HaYachid, return to the Amud Beis, Pshita, it's obvious in this situation that you would be able to use the Erev in this bor, because Pshita, Rishus HaYachid, Ola Adler Rakia, just like Rishus HaYachid goes up to the sky, so too, Kihechi Desolko Le'el, Hachanami Denoskel Etachas. So too, just like when you're going up, we say it goes all the way up to the Shemayim, so too, when you're going down, it goes all the way down to the Tahom, goes all the way down to the bottom. So therefore, this is all Rishus HaYachid. So your Shvisa is inside the bar, which is Rishus HaYachid, and the surrounding areas of Rishus HaYachid. So you and your Erev are in the same Rishus, so therefore, obviously it's good. I wouldn't need a Mishnah to tell me that. Okay, so maybe Velo Dekoy Rishus Harabim. You know what? The bor itself is Rishus HaYochid, but it's located in Rishus Harabim. And that's why you need to tell me that this is good. Because the Niskavin Lishbos Hecha, where did the person now intend to do a Shvisa? Ilamala, if he intended to do a Shvisa in the Rishus Harabim, so then it's no good. That would be a situation where he's in the Rishus Harabim and the Erev is in the Rishus HaYochid, the bottom of the bor. So it would be no good. The Mishnah is wrong then. That would be a case of Hu b'makom echad, he himself is in one place in the Rishus HaRabim, Ve'ruva b'makom achru, and the Erev is in the bottom of the pit, which is Rishus HaYochid. So that's clearly no good. So that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. And if you want to tell me that Ilamata, that he intended to make Yishvisa in the bottom of the pit, so then I don't need a Mishnah to tell me that it's good. Pshita, it would clearly be good. Hu ve'ruva b'makom echad, because he and his Erev both are in the Rishus HaYochid. So again, we're stuck. Right now, it can't be that the bor is in Rishus HaYochid, because it'll be obviously be good. It can't be that it's in Rishus HaRabim, because if he made it inside, his Shvisa inside, it would clearly be good, obviously. And if he made his Shvisa outside, it clearly would be no good. So what in the world is the Mishnah telling us? An obvious din. So Gemara says the third possibility that I mentioned. Lo tzricha, you know what? You need the case of the Mishnah to teach us the koi b'karmelis, that the bor, which of course is still a Rishus HaYochid, is located in the Karmelis. And this goes like the Shita of Rebbe. The Niskavin Lishbos Lamala, and he wants to have his Shvisa in the Karmelis. And the Erev will be in the bottom of the bor, which is Rishus HaYochid. Now carrying from Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis is an Issa d'Rabbanan. But this is Rebbe's opinion. And what does Rebbe say? We've said this many times. The Omar called over Shumishum Shvus. Anything that is only an Issa de Rabbanan, and it's a Shvus during the Ben Hashmoshes period of time. So on Shabbos it takes effect, but not during the Ben Hashmoshes period of time. Lo Gozru lo Ben Hashmoshes. So it didn't take effect yet in the Ben Hashmoshes. So therefore, when the Erev takes effect, which is at the start of the Ben Hashmoshes, so therefore, you and your Erev are considered in the same Rishus, because you're in the Karmelis, and the Erev is in the Rishus HaYochid, which there is no Issa to carry Midaraisa, and therefore, according to Rabbi, that any Shvus doesn't take effect till after the Ben HaShmoshes is over, so you and your Erev are accessible, and that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The son of Barosh HaKoneh or Barosh HaKundus. If a person were to go and place his Erev on top of a thin type of a reed, or on top of a kundus, is like a post of some sort, a pole. So in this situation, the dimensions of this reed or of this kundus are less than 4 by 4 tvachim. So therefore, when it goes all the way up to above 10 tvachim, it doesn't have the status of being a Rishus HaYochid on the top, because it doesn't have a wide enough base. You need to have, in order to be Rishus HaYochid, it has to be 10 tvachim tall and 4 by 4 tvachim wide. Here it's not 4 by 4 tvachim wide, so it's going to have the status of being a Karmelis. So Bisman Shu Tolush denotes, Mishnah tells us that as long as this reed is not still attached to the ground, in other words, originally was attached to the ground, you uprooted it, and now you put it back in over here. So as long as the situation is that this reed is not considered a tree, as we'll learn in the Gemara, because you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. So as long as this is not a tree, it's considered like a post. And therefore, its top part is wide, 4x4 tvachim, but the pole itself going up is less than 4x4 tvachim, so the top part doesn't have the status of being a rishus hayochid. The top part has the status of being a karmelis, and therefore it is not a problem. Your Erev and your Mokum Shvisa are both located in the Carmelis in the same place, and therefore it is perfectly acceptable. Afilu gavoh kuf ama hareze Erev. It is a good Erev. If this isn't clear enough, so then you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai on page 85 in diagrams number 41 and 42. Gemara starts off and asks, Rami le Rav Adda bar Masna le Rava. Rav Adda bar Masna asks Rava the following Shaila. We seem to say in our Mishnah that it only if it was talush, if this reed, if this kana was attached to the ground, you uprooted it, and then you put it back in the ground, the nodes, so then this is an acceptable Erev in the right place. However, lo talush, the nodes, if you didn't uproot it and then replant it, so then no, it wouldn't be good. In other words, if this kana was still its original reed growing up from the ground, you can't use it, because you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. You can't be mishtamesh with the tree on Shabbos. Now, this is the Banish Mashas period of time. So Rebbe says you're allowed to, because the Shavuos, that you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos, because you may come to go rip off a branch, doesn't apply during the Banish Mashas period of time. So here it seems to say that it does apply. So money, who is the author of our Mishnah? Rabbanan he. This is the Chachamim. This is the opinion of those that argue with Rebbe. The Amrei who hold, called over Shehu Mishum Shavuos, anything that is a rabbinical prohibition, it's a Shavuos on Shabbos. So then, even during the Banish Mashas period of time, Gozru Olav Banish Mashas. So now, we suddenly have switched to our Mishnah here, on the Flamen Dalad on with Beis to be the opinion of the Chachamim that argue with Rebbe. For Amis Reish Rebbe, but the first part of the Mishnah, again, the Mishnayis and the Gemara are not always together. In the Mishnayis, they are together. So that which we learned on Daf Lamed Beis on with Beis, which we said if you had it above 10 Tvachim, it was no good. If it was below 10 Tvachim, it was good. Even though it was in the tree, because we said, for Amis Reish Rebbe, that was the opinion of Rebbe, said that during the Banish Mashos, so the prohibition didn't take effect, and therefore you and your Erev are considered okay. So what do we have over here? We have Reisha Rebbe, the Sefer Rabbanan. That's very unusual that in the same quote Mishnah, even though for us it's two pages apart, but there it's considered the same Mishnah to have two different authors when you don't attribute it. If you say the Divri Rabbeir, then you say Divri Rabbi Yehuda, so that's fine. You can always have different opinions. But here it's Stam, so it doesn't make sense that we should have the Reisha being the opinion of Rebbe, and then suddenly we switch midstream, and now we have the opinion of the Chacham. So Gemara says, yeah, that sometimes happens. Amalei, this question was asked to Rava by Rav Adda bar Masna, and Rava tells Rav Adda bar Masna, yeah, in. That's the way it is sometimes. Kvar Rami le Rami bar Chama le Rav Chista. The same question was already asked by Rami bar Chama to Rav Chista, and he gave the same terrors that I'm giving you. Vishonid le Reisha Rebbe, Vesefer Rabbanan. Yeah, this is unusual, but that's the way it is. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Ravina Amar, no. In fact, Kula Rebbe, the Mishnah Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, as we pointed out, is Rebbe. And this Mishnah is also Rebbe. How can we say that this Mishnah is Rebbe? Because V'seifo Gezeiro Shema Yiktom. Here we're talking about this reed, that it's not a concern that you may come to pull off a branch if we allow you to use the tree. You may come to pull off a branch. No, this reed is a different consistency. And therefore, you actually, by taking off the Erev from this reed, are going to break off a piece of the reed. And that is an Issa D'Oraisa. And therefore, this is the Malach of Kotzer. And you're not allowed to do this, not because it's a Shavuos, but this is a real Gezeira here, that you are going to, by pulling off the Erev from the tree, you're going to be Yiktom, you're going to go and do this Tolda of Kotzer. And that's why it's not allowed. So even Rebbe says over here that you're not allowed to do this. As Rashi explains, Lefisha Konarach, because this reed is very soft. And Ikala Migza, you therefore have even Rebbe saying that you make a Gezeira Shema Yiktom, that you may come to break off a piece, kishokule, when you take off the Erev. However, avol ilan kosher, but a harder tree, benashmashos, l'shema yala v'yitlosh, that we're concerned that if you allow you to go take something off the tree, you may go climb up the tree and pull something off that, lo chayshina, during the benashmashos period of time. However, avol l'ketim askane, but to break off a piece as you're taking off the Erev, vadahi, That is certainly something that can easily happen, and therefore, since it's so soft, I did the rechicha, therefore, mikdama v'lav shvusu. This isn't considered a shvus, like, oh, maybe if we let you use the tree, you'll go and climb up on the tree and break off a branch, but this is a real malacha, the mechayev mishum kotzer. This is, as I said, a told of kotzer, and therefore, it is not allowed, even according to Rebbe. So that's Ravina's teretz, and saying that it's not the reisha is Rebbe and the sefer is Rabbana. No, the reisha is Rebbe and the sefer is Rebbe, and this is a unique case. There once was a group of troops that came to the city of Nardoi. And Rashi points out, when they came there, this was Chayil HaMelech, this was the king's garrison, and they took up a lot of the open space, and now they wouldn't be able to have a base medrash in one of these open areas that they normally would learn it on Shabbos. So what happened? They wouldn't have a place to learn. So Amalu Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman told the Talmidim on Erev Shabbos, poku, go out, avidu kivushe kafshe bi'agma, and go and make for us a place that we can go and gather by the swampy area. In other words, Rashi says, tsu, go out, the chofu hakonim, go and bend the reeds one on top of the other to make them kimin kisos, like now chairs, lay shiva lam, and we'll be able to go sit on them on Shabbos. And that's what the Gemara says. And tomorrow on Shabbos, we will go and sit on these reeds. Now, that's what Rav Nachman told the Talmidim to do. Esvei Rami Racham, Rav Nachman, Rami Racham asked Rav Nachman, but wait a second, Rebbe. Rami Law, others say it was Rav Ukva Baraba who said to Rav Nachman, he says, Rebbe, Talush Vinotz in. We learned in our Mishnah only if the reeds are uprooted and then replanted are you allowed to use them. Otherwise, lo talush velo notes lo. But if they weren't uprooted and replanted, you're not allowed to use them. So how can you, Rebbe, say over here that you just have to bend the reeds and you're allowed to use them? We learned in our Mishnah that you're not allowed to use them because of a concern of shem or yiktum, that you may come to break it off. So why isn't this the same thing in the students going out there and bending them? So Rav Nachman says, no, there's a difference between our Mishnah and the difference in the case over here with the Pumasa, with the army. So Amalei, so he tells him, Hosam b'Uzardin, in the case of our Mishnah, they are Uzardin. Rashi explains Uzardin, Shuhuk Shokvar. They're somewhat harder, and therefore they have the status of an Elon, and it'll be easy to break them off, and you have to be concerned. The Chisharinan, Rashi says, Bisha'enon Uzardin. And when I sit over here, go to the Talmidim and go and bend it, I'm talking about where they're not hard. They're still very soft, and therefore they have the halachic status of yerek, of a vegetable, avuk yerek, or biyerek, lo iskiru chachomim shvus. And the rabbis never instituted when it's a yerek that there should be an iser of a shvus over here. And therefore, Rav Nachman says the two cases are different. The case where we said that we're concerned, shema yiktom, that's when they're uzardin, they're hard. And my case over here, when I said I'm not concerned, and therefore, even if they weren't tolush, the low notes, it's okay, is because they are soft. And I'll show you that I'm right, Rav Nachman says. Umino temer, deshon leim bein uzardin, l'shein uzardin. Where do we see that there's a difference between the ones that harden and the ones that aren't hard, that are soft? The Tanya, because we learned a different brisa. Hakonin v'ho'atadin v'yahigin. There are three different types of growths over here. The konim is our reeds, and atadin, Rashi tells us, and the higin are certain types of kotzin, there's certain types of thorns. So all three of these are considered min ilon, they are considered like trees, and therefore, if you were to plant them in a vineyard, v'ein kilayim bikarim, only vegetables in a vineyard are considered kilayim, but trees in a vineyard are not considered kilayim. So here we see that konin are called trees. But we have another brayis of a Tanya Idach that says, hakonim, these reeds, v'akidon, Rashi says kidon is a certain type of bosem, sheshmo kida, a certain type of aromatic growth that is known as kida. And also, this third category of growth that's called harubanim, Rashi gives us a foreign language word for this. So all these types of growths, min yerekim, they are considered like yerek, and therefore, the hein kilayim became, they would constitute kilayim if you had to plant them in a vineyard. Now, wait a second. The first thing we said here is konim. And according to the second brisa, the konim, the reeds, are vegetables and would be kilayim bekarim. But according to the first brisa, the konim were included amongst the thorns and they're considered trees. So you have two different types of konim, clearly. Kasha dadi, how can they have a different din? Elosh mami nuts, two different types of konim. Kan buzardin, the first brisa which said it's like a tree, it's because they became hard. They're uzardin. And the second brisa which said that they're kilayim because they're soft like a vegetable, kan bishain uzardin, they're not hard. Shmami nuts. This is a good raya that there are two types of konim, exactly like Rav Nachman said. Now we just question, since we had this brisa, the second brisa, it said that there were these konim and also kidon and urbanim that are all vegetables. So the more questions is, this kida, is that also min yeriko? Is that a type of vegetable? We said it's kilayim if you planted in a vineyard, but we learned in the Mishnah of Otnan, ein markivim pegom agabi kida levona, that you're not allowed to be markiv, you can't go and graft something called pegom. Rashi explains that this is also a foreign language word called ruda, which is the rue, and you're not allowed to go and graft this pegom onto a kida levona. Now, if the kida levona was a vegetable, so then we have a problem. Maybe shu yerik be elon. Then you have, you're planting a vegetable onto a tree. So therefore, obviously, we're considering this kida levana as being a tree. Because the pegum is a vegetable, and you, if it was a vegetable to a vegetable, it wouldn't be a problem. But we're saying that you're doing the pegum onto this kida levana, so the kida levana is a tree. So how can you tell me in the second brisa that we brought above that the kidin, which is the kida, is in fact a vegetable? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, kida luchud, the kida levana luchud. Again, there are two types of kida. The plain kida, that's what we learned in the second brisa, that's a vegetable. And in this Mishnah, this kida levana, that's a separate entity, and that is a tree. Next Mishnah. Nisano b'migdol, the Ovad HaMavteach, if a person were to put his eruv inside some sort of a chest, and then he loses the key. Gemara will explain exactly what the scenario is, why he can't break into it, what issa would be involved in breaking into it, and therefore, is it considered out of your rishus, and it's not in the same rishus as where you are, and the Gemara will discuss this. But for now, we're just saying if you have a migdol, you have this chest, and it's locked, and you put your eruv inside, and then, for avad hamavteach, you lost the key. Nevertheless, the Tanakhama says, harei zeh eruv, it still is a good eruv, you're still considered able to get that. The Gemara will explain why. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, no, in any yodeh shemavteach b'mkoma, if you don't know that the key is in its regular place, even though you don't remember where the regular place is, but if you don't know where the key is in its regular place, in other words, the key is lost, so then, ain't aware of it. You can't get into the chest because the key is lost, and you're not allowed to break it open, Rebbe Elazar says, as we'll see why in the Gemara, therefore, you and your Erev are not in the same place because it's inaccessible to you. The Gemara questions the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said that it is a good Erev. Vamai, the Gemara says, how come it's a good Erev? This is exactly a situation where you and your Erev aren't together. The Erev is locked inside this chest, and you can't go and get it. So therefore, how can you say that this is a good Erev, Tanakhama? The Erev and you aren't in the same place. So we're going to have two terutz. The first one is Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Damri Tavayu, Rabbi Shmuel both said that you know what we're dealing with here? Hocho b'migdal shelevenim askina. We're dealing with a chest that is made out of bricks. Now, these bricks, for Rav Meir, this goes according to the opinion of Rav Meir, who says, the Omar, Pocheis l'chatchila v'notel, that a person, when you're having these bricks, we'll see these bricks are not cemented together. We'll see that this is something called avira delivne. There is space in between the bricks. In other words, there's no cement in between the bricks. So therefore, according to Rav Meir, you're allowed to go take this apart. So Rav Shmuel said that our Mishnah is, the Tanakhama is Rav Meir's opinion, or Rav Meir himself. And Rav Meir says that you can go and take apart this chest because it is made of bricks that are not cemented together. And where do we see this? This is a Mishnah in Beitzah, that none. Bayis shemilohu peros sosum. If you have a house that was filled with fruits, but the house was sealed up before Yontif. So, therefore, in order to get these fruits, you'd have to create a passageway, a doorway into this sealed house with the fruits inside of it. So, that's what the Mishnah tells us in Beitzah, that it's not accessible. However, the nivchas on its own, it fell apart. No, tell me, mokum b'chas. So then the Tanakhama says, you're allowed to go take it from the place where it fell apart. The fruits inside aren't muktzah, because we hold like Rabbi Shimon, and therefore, since you're not doing anything wrong and breaking it open, because it broke on its own, the wind came and blew these bricks apart, so therefore, you can go take the food inside, because it's not muktzah. Rav Meir Omer, however, says, poches, you're even allowed to go take them apart, because the bricks aren't cemented together. Therefore, this is the sheet of Rav Meir. So in this chest that we're talking about, this migdol that we're talking about, it was made of loosely attached bricks, not cemented together. And therefore, Rav Meir says, you're allowed to go take it apart, even l'chatchila. Therefore, you and your Erev are in the same place. Gemara says, Omer Rav Nachman bar Ata Omer Shmuel, Rav Nachman bar Ata Senei Shmuel, Barira de Livne. We're talking here in the Mishnah where they were not cemented together. So the Mishnah and Beitzah is talking about this situation where they weren't cemented together. How can you say that that's the case in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, yeah, hachanami, bavir levivni. Yeah, that's exactly the case. The Migdal in our Mishnah is also talking about where it wasn't cemented together. Just like the Mishnah and Beitzah, so to the Mishnah here in Erevin. Therefore, there's no kasha, and that's why the Tanakama, which is either Rav Meir or the opinion of Rav Meir, that says, you're allowed to lechatchila, go take this chest apart, go take the Migdal apart to go get the key to the Erev inside, even though you don't have the keys, because you're allowed to do this lechatchila. Ayin Gemara says, V'amar Rav Zeira said, B'yom tov amru avalo b'shabbos, that Mishnah Beitzah is only talking about on Yom Tov, because of Ochel Nefesh. Therefore, for Ochel Nefesh, they would make up that you'd be allowed to go take this Avir, the Livni, apart. But if it was Shabbos, when you don't have the Heter of Ochel Nefesh, you're not allowed to take it apart. So the Mishnah and Beitz is only talking about by Yontif. Isn't our Mishnah talking about by Shabbos? Gemara says, no, Hachanami be Yontif. Our Mishnah is also referring to on Yontif, that it's only allowed the Tanakama to go take the Erev from inside. It's considered accessible because it's Yontif, and you could take it apart, L'chatchila, according to Rav Meir, because of Ochel Nefesh. Whereas if that's true, so if that's true, so then I don't understand the following. Because we learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im ba'ir, in referring to our Mishnah, he said, if this Migdol is inside the city, in this situation, if you avad, if you lost the key, nevertheless, eruv or eruv. However, im basada, if this chest was out in the field, and then avad, you lost the key, ain't eruv or eruv, then it's not considered a good eruv. Now, if you're telling me it's Yontif, be Yontif, so then what do we care about whether it's in the city where you can carry or it's outside in the field where you can't carry? Mali ir, mali sada. It's Yontif and you're allowed to carry. So if you're telling me that our Mishnah is talking about by Yontif, so then this Bryce of Rabbi Eliezer is saying it makes a difference whether the Migdal was in the city or the Migdal was outside the city, because if it's in the city, then you can carry the key when you find it. And if it's outside the city, you can't carry the key. That's not true. It's Yontif. You should be able to carry it no matter what. So that doesn't make any sense. So we turn to the Omer Aleph. No. Chisuri Mechsera V'Hochitani. So this is how you have to go and answer up the Mishnah, which was saying, our Mishnah is talking about by Yontif with the Avira de Livni and the Braisa, which seems to make a difference between whether it's in the city or whether it's outside the city, meaning that it's not on Yontif. So Chisuri Mechsera V'Hochitani. This is what you have to add. Nisano B'Migdol. If you put your Erev inside the Migdol, the Nol, and then you locked it before Nov, for Avar HaMavtech, and then you lost the key, so what's the Locha? Hareza Erev. The Tanakama, Rav Meir's opinion says that it's a good Erev. But under what circumstances? B'Medvar Mamurim, when is a good Erev? Only on Yontif, as we explained. Because on Shabbos, we don't have this Heter to go L'chatchila to take it apart. Abel b'Shabbos ain eruv erev. As we just pointed out, on Shabbos it wouldn't be a good erev because even Rebbe would say you're not allowed to take it upon on Shabbos, even if it's avir de livni. Now nimtza mavteach, if you find the key bein b'ir bein masadeh, so then ain eruv erev. If you find the key, it's not a good erev. That's the Tanakama's opinion. And along comes Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, no, it depends. If you find it ba'ir, where you're allowed to carry it, eruv erev. Now, how are you allowed to carry it? The city is a Rishus HaRabim. So the answer is, it's not a real Rishus HaRabim, it's a Carmelis. And according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, as we'll see, and again, we'll remind ourselves of what we learned in Hilchos Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon holds that you're allowed to carry Echad Gagos, Echad Chatzeros, Echad Rapivios, they're all the same Rishus, and you can carry from one to the other. So this is what Rabbi Eliezer is saying. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, if you find the keys in the city, Eruv Erev, because you can actually go take the key to the Migdal and open it up. Therefore, you and your Erev in the same place. However, Basada, when it's a real Rishus HaRabim, ain't Eruv Erev. Then you can't go and carry the key to your Erev, and it's not a good Erev. Now, the Gemara now explains what I just said outside. But here, in the city, if you find the key, Eruv Erev, why is that? Because we hold like Rav Shimon. The Omar, the Rav Shimon's opinion is, we learned this in Hilchos Shabbos, and we're in Masechta Shabbos, Echad Gagos, Echad Chatzeros, Echad Pifios. We have this in Erevin as well. Whether it's on a rooftop, or whether it's in a chotzer, or whether it's in a karpap, all of these are considered one Rishus in regards to carrying on Shabbos, and Rishus Achas in L'Chelim Sheshav Sebesochen, any utensils that were within them. These were enclosed areas, so you're allowed to go and carry within these enclosed areas, Midyaraisa and Midyarabanan, as long as the utensil was in this enclosed area, they're all considered one type of enclosed area, and you can carry on Shabbos. Therefore, if you find the key in any one of these areas, you can carry it to your Migdal, which is in also one of these areas. That's why it's considered a good Erev. However, Basada, outside in the field, you're not allowed to carry there. Ain Eruva Erev, therefore it's not a good Erev. Here it's holding like the opinion of the Rabbanan. Now, this is a different Rabbanan. Which Rabbanan is this? This is like the Rabbanan that say that you're only allowed to go and carry pachos midalet amos for dvar mitzvah. For example, for tefillin, if you find tefillin and you're afraid they're going to get destroyed out there, you can't pick them up on Shabbos to carry them, so you carry them three amos and stop. So that's the opinion of the Rabbanan, that it's only good for tefillin. And the Bali Plukta, the Rabbanan, which is Rabbi Shimon over there, said you're allowed to carry even the Erev ki, because that's also sort of a dvar mitzvah. So Agama is telling us we don't passing like that, Rabbi Shimon. Basada ein eruv eruv, like the opinion of the Rabbanon, that the only time you can carry pachos midalet amos is to save the tefillin. Others are not gorious this, and they say that this could even be Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon only permits it also for the tefillin and doesn't argue with the Chachamim, and therefore they wouldn't be gorious over here. Basada ein eruv eruv kirabban. That was teretz number one. Teretz number two now that we're giving is Rabba v'Rav Yosef. Rabba Rav Yosef, Damar Tavaya, they both say, Hocho b'migdol shel eitz askinan. We're not dealing with the Avira de Livni, like Rav and Shmuel said, but here we're dealing with the eitz, migdol shel eitz, a wooden type of closet, the mar savar klihu, the Tanakama holds that this is considered a kli. The ain binyan b'kelim, the ain stira b'kelim. We have the famous rule that by kelim, there is an opinion that says you can take them apart, you can put them back together. There is no problem with doing this on Yontif or Shabbos. There's no binyan b'stira b'kelim. And therefore, this migdal, which is made up of wood, is a kli. And therefore, you could take it apart, you could break it, and there's no problem. Therefore, you and your Erev are in the same place. That's the opinion of the Tanakama. As opposed to Umar, Rabbi Eliezer, Umar Savar, Ohel. No, he says it's not a kli, it's an ohel. This migdal is large enough to be considered an ohel. An ohel is a structure, a binyan. Therefore, that does have a din of binyan ustira. It's a binyan, it's not kelim. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Eliezer says, you're not allowed to go, it's not a good area, because you'd have to break it open. That would be doing stira, and stira is not allowed on Shabbos or Yontif. And this is actually the same machlokas as we learned in a Mishnah in Zovim. What is that? It's not. We learned in Mishnah in Zovim, Hikish agabi shido tevu migdol, if a person who is tame were to have moved. This is hikish, means this is tumas hest. This is a movement of it. Rashi explains, Zov be'agrofo, the Zov takes his hand, the Zov has his intrinsic body tumor to him, and he moves his hand, agabi shido Teva umigdol, so then tmeim, he turns it into tumah. He makes that item tummy. Why? Because he moved it. Now, how come he didn't make it tummy? By touching it, so he's wearing a glove. He's wearing something that he doesn't have tumas maga over here, or alternately, inami hekesho b'chatichas eitz shebiyado, or he pushed it with a stick in his hand, and that's why the item is not called tummy tumas maga, but it's tummy tumas hest, of moving it. So in this Mishnah and Zovim, it says that if the Zov went and moved the Shida, Teva, Migdol, they become Tame, because they are considered utensils. And a utensil that is moved is considered Tame. If the Zov moves it, it's Tame. However, Rav Nechemi and Rav Shimon, they disagree. Rav Nechemi and Rav Shimon Metarim, they say that it's Torah. What are they arguing about? My Lab B'Hokum Ivligi. Isn't this what they're arguing about? The Tanakhama says, Mar Sovar Klihu, that this is the Shida, Teva, Migdol is a Kli. Our migdol is a kli, and therefore you're allowed to go and do binyan and stira by kelim, just like it's considered a kli in regards to the tumah by the zav. And the other opinion, Rav Nechemi, Rav Shimon, Umar Savar, Ohel. No, it's not kabul tumah because it's too big. It's an ohel, and therefore, while there's no tumah when you move it because it's an ohel, but that would be exactly the case that in our discussion of binyan and stira, in regards to this migdol, it's like an ohel. And therefore, an ohel does have binyan stira, and that's why Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to go and use the Erev that's inside of there because it's inaccessible to you. So Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef are basing their answer on this machlokis, but Abaye says it's wrong. Amar Abaye, Vitisbro, you really think what you're saying is correct, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, that this machlokis in our Mishnah between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar is totally on this machlokis between Rabbi Nechemin and Rabbi Shimon and their Tanakhama? No. He says, Vatanya, because keep on reading. We learned in a different brisa. Ohel, if you have an ohel, the nisat and a zov goes and moves it. He doesn't touch it. Again, the same thing as before. He's either wearing a glove or he moves it with a stick. Then it is tummy. This ohel is tummy. Now, that goes against what Rav Nechemia and Rav Shimon just said. So, therefore, this brisa would be against them. But we'll see. This is Lekuliyama. Because kli, the enonisa tarah, because the Braisa says, if you have a kli, but you don't move it, you just touch it without directly touching it with the glove, but you don't move it, it's tar.
Uktani Seifa, and the Seifa, this Brisa, says that this is according to everybody. Vim hayu nisotin tmeim. If you move either the Kli or the Ohel, it is going to become Tame. If the Zov moves it, it's going to become Tame. And Zaklal, this is a rule that everybody agrees to. Niseit machmas kocho Tame. If you directly move it, it is going to become Tame. It's only machmas ra'ada. If you jump up on the ground, and therefore the ground shakes a little bit, and that's why it moves, then it's not considered that you moved it. That's considered an indirect. It's like a grumma, and therefore it would be tar. So what do you see? Abaye says that there is no machlokus over here between a Kli versus a ohel. They all say the same thing. If you move it, it's moved. If it becomes tummy. If you don't move it directly, only move it indirectly, it doesn't become tummy. So you can say that that's what the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah here are arguing about. So how does Abaye explain it? El Omar Abaye, Dekuliyama, Heset Machmas Kochu Tummy. Everybody agrees that if the Zov moves something, then it's not Tomei Maga, as we said, he has a glove where he hits it with a stick, so then it becomes Tomei, whether it's a Kli or whether it's an Ohel. Machmas Ra'adatar, and everybody agrees that if you jump on and you shake the ground, and that's why it moves, then it's going to be Tar. Where do they have a machlokis? There clearly is a machlokis between Rav Nechem and Rav Shimon and the Tanakama. Their argument about something else. It has nothing to do with whether it's a Kli or whether it's an Ohel. They're arguing about what happens if I move it and I just shake it, but I don't move it. This is what they're arguing about. That the Tanakhama holds the Marisov, our heavy hesed. That movement, shaking back and forth, even though it didn't move its position, is considered movement, and therefore it's Tomei, because the Zov moved it. And Rav Shimon and Rav Nechemia, they hold the Marisov, our low heavy hesed. That's not considered movement, because it stayed in its same place. And therefore, this Mishnah in the Goyim has absolutely nothing to do with our Mishnah over here. So then what are Rabbi Eliezer and the Tanakhama of our Mishnah arguing about? How are you going to establish our Mishnah based upon what? Now Tosus points out over here, we could have just said, it's simply, it's a machlokas, is there binyan and stir v'kelim? Tanakhama holds, there is no binyan and stir v'kelim, that's why it's wood, and you can break it, and no problem. And along comes Rabbi Eliezer and says, no, you can't break it. Binyan v'stir v'kelim applies. So Tosa says, we don't want to align it like that, because then Rabbi Eliezer would be like the opinion of Beishamai, and we don't want to hold that Rabbi Eliezer must hold like the opinion of Beishamai, even though we normally say Rabbi Eliezer shemutihu, but here we'd rather not forcibly align him with the opinion of Beishamai if we don't have to. So therefore, how do we get around this? So Abaye gives his own teretz. He says, Abaye and also the Rava, they both say that the way to learn our Mishnah, the machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Eliezer is as follows. We're dealing with biminol, we're dealing with a lock on this migdol, on this chest, ukotir bimisna. It's tied down with a rope. Misna is a strong rope, askinan. That's what we're dealing with. And therefore, this lock has a strong rope on it, and you can't rip it open with your hands. And therefore, uboy sakino lemifsake, and you have to take a knife to go and cut open this rope. And this is the machlokis. The Tanakhama, the Chachamim, Sava law, ki Rabbi Yossi. They hold like in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Muktzah, like Rabbi Yossi. The Omar who holds, call a Kalim nitolim b'Shabbos. Any kli, shemalachto leheter, is allowed to be used on Shabbos for anything that you want to use it for. With the exception of certain kelim that are very, very expensive, the kli that is muktzah machmas chisaron kis, chutz mi ma'isar hagadol, this is a certain type of very, very large saw that you wouldn't want to use for anything other than the sawing purposes, or else you'll break the blades. The yotzi shemacharesha, and also this device that is used, it's called a coulter, that is used to go and plow. So these things, you wouldn't want to use them for something else. Therefore, they're restricted. You can only use them for the purposes, which of course can't be used on Shabbos, so therefore they're muktzah. However, any other keli, such as a knife, which you normally use, let's say, to cut meat, you'd be allowed to use to cut a rope, because it's a kli shemalach leheter, and you can use it for whatever you want. But Rabbi Eliezer, he holds like the very, very machmir position of Rabbi Nechemya. So have a look at Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Nechemya's opinion is, you're only allowed to use a kli shemalach to leheter for the thing that it normally is used for, but not even for something else that is heter. The Omar, the Rabbi Nechemya holds, afilu talis, afilu tarbat, even a piece of clothing, or a spoon, you're not allowed to use it except to wear the clothing and to use the spoon to use what you use a spoon for, to eat with the spoon. They're not allowed to be moved, even for another permissible purpose, if it's not the direct purpose that they were created for. And therefore, this knife is not allowed to be moved, according to Rabbi Nechemya, to cut the lock. And therefore, Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Nechemiah, and that's why he says you're Erev, and you aren't in the same place, because you can't get inside the Migdol. As opposed to the Tanna Kamma, holds like Rabbi Yossi. He says, sure, I can get inside very easily. All I need to use is a knife. You're not allowed to use a knife. You are allowed to use a knife to go cut the rope. And that, Abaye and Rava say that's what Machlokis and the Mishnah between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Elazar is all about. Next Mishnah. Again, we'll catch up another half of a daf today. We'll do the Amud Lamed Hey Amud Aleph today, and we'll be in good position in Mitzvah Shem for the Chagim. The Mishnah says, Nisgagel Chutz L'Tchum, if you have your Erev that you set up, and it's blown by the wind, and it goes outside the Tchum. Now, if it's outside the Tchum, you can't access it. So, if it's outside the Tchum, it's not going to be a good Erev, because you and your Erev are not in the same place. Or likewise, Nofal Olav Gal, if Nebuch, the building collapsed where your Erev was in, and there's a pile of rubble on top of it. Or Onisraf, it gets burned in a fire. Or you have Truma, which is edible by the Kohanim, and therefore it's good even though you're Yisrael, we said. But Nitmes, now it becomes Tameh, and it's not going to be edible even by the Kohanim. In all of these situations, it depends when this destruction of your Erev occurred, either the rolling outside the Tchum, or that the pile of rubble fell on top of it, or it got burned, or it became Tameh. So Mib'od Yom, if this occurred before the Bein HaShemoshos period of time, while it was still Friday afternoon, so then ain't aware of it. It's already destroyed before the start of the Bein HaShemoshos, so therefore it never took effect. However, Misha Chashecha, if it occurred after dark, so your Erev took effect, Harei Ze Erev. So even though it got destroyed in any one of these four ways, a minute after it's nighttime, so then your Erev was a good Erev. It doesn't have to be present all of Shabbos. That's the Tanakh of the Mishnah. Im Sofik, what happens if we don't know when this occurred? It was out in the field someplace. That's why you made an Erev Techumim. And now you go there on Friday night, and you find that it's destroyed. So Rav Meir Yehuda say you're in a lot of trouble. Rav Meir Yehuda Omrim, you are like Harezeh Chamor Gamol. You're like a person who drives both the donkey and drives the camel. In other words, they don't go at the same speed. They're not going together, and you're in a lot of trouble. Because you have to be Choshesh. Maybe the Erev was eaten before, the Erev was lost before Shabbos started, and therefore your house in the city is your Erev, and therefore you have 2,000 Amos from there. Or on the other hand, maybe this was a good Erev, and you lost your Mokum Shvis in the city, and you only have the Mokum Shvis out here. But now, you are stuck, because let's say your house in the city, you had 2,000 Amos to go to the east of the city, but now you made your Erev 2,000 Amos to the west of the city, so now you're stuck, you can't move. You're totally stuck, because maybe your original Erev is there, and this is as far as you could go west. But maybe your original Erev is not there, and you can't go back to your house in the city. It's right where you are right now. You're stuck. You're at the maximum point that you can go. So you're like a chamor gamol. You're stuck where you are. Wherever the Erevs overlap, so let's say you didn't make it 2,000 Amos, you made it 1,000 Amos, so then you have the 1,000 Amos in between that they overlap. But if there's no overlap, then you're stuck and you can't even move more than Dalet Amos from where you are. That's the opinion of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. We'll learn about this more later in the Masechta. Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon, they say that in fact, Omrim, Safek, Erev Kosher. You're allowed to rely upon the fact that your Erev is good. The Gemara will give us several terutz in why this is in fact the case. And in fact, Omer Rav Yossi says, Avtalmus, Hey Mishum Chamisha Tzakenim, Avtalmus said the same thing in the name of five great Chachamim, Al Safek, Erev, Kosher, Kosher. He says also that the Safek, Erev is good. And again, we'll get to the Gemara, we'll understand this a lot better. Now we start the Gemara here now. Niskalgel chutz l'tchum. If your Erev blew outside the tchum, so it's no longer accessible to you. So Amar Rava lo shanu. We only said there elish niskalgel chutz l'arba amos. If it went more than 4 amos outside your 2,000 amos. However, avol total amos. If it's within 2,004 amos, it's still within the 4 amos of your 2,000 amos. So then, it's perfectly good. Hanosi neiruvo yeshul dalal amos. Because of the principle that when a person goes and makes an Erev, he gets an additional 4 amos, that's so to say, for his body. And that extra dalet amos, as long as the Erev hasn't rolled outside that extra dalet amos, it's perfectly good still. Then we quote the Mishnah, it said, Nofal olav gal v'chule, if the building fell down and all the rubble was on top of it, so then it is still a good Erev if it happened on Shabbos. If it happened before Shabbos, then it's not a good Erev. Now the Gemara says, our understanding of this mission is as follows. Since theoretically, you could go and get your Eruv by moving all the rubble, but we don't allow you to do that during the Bein HaShmoshos period of time, because that's a din derabbanan of Muktza. The rubble is Muktza, so you're not allowed to move it, and it's during the Bein HaShmoshos period of time. It must be Lehman Masnisa, the local Rebbe. Our Mishnah goes like the opinion of the Chachamim, not like Rebbe. The Chachamim say that anything that's an Issa Shvus, Muktza is an Issa Shvus, during the Bein HaShmoshos you're not allowed to do, and therefore your Eruv is not accessible to you. As opposed to Rebbe, who would say that it's an Issa Muktza, you're allowed to use an Issa Muktza during the Bein HaShmoshos period of time, because Rebbe Shita is that it's only once Shabbos starts. It's full Shabbos. Not the Bein HaShmoshos, it's full Shabbos that the Isser Derabbanan comes into effect. But during the Bein HaShmoshos, it would be effective. So since this is not effective, therefore, it's not like Rebbe. Lema Masnisa, the local Rebbe. Now, the Gemara says, the Rebbe, because if it had been Rebbe, Amar called Davar Shu Mishum Shvuz, Lo Gazru Lo Bein HaShmoshos. As we said many times, Rebbe's opinion would allow you to go and access the Erev because you could move the rubble because it's only an Issa Muktza. And if it's during the Bein HaShmoshos time, it doesn't take effect. So therefore, let's say our Mishnah is not like Rebbe. Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Rebbe. We don't like to ever make our Mishnah not like Rebbe. So our Mishnah, we always like to keep according to everybody. So Afilu Tema Rebbe. Our Mishnah could even be according to Rebbe. Aye, then how come you can't go and say it's a good Erev? Lo Tzricha, here we're talking about that you can't just move it with your hand. So it's not only a problem of Muktza, but you have to go take implements. You'd have to go take tools. The boy in Mora, you'd need to take a shovel, the Chatzina, some other type of a shovel, a pick, to go and remove the rubble in order to get to the Erev. Oh, that is already an Issa D'Oraisa. These are tools of digging, and therefore, if you have to go and dig, so then that's an Issa D'Oraisa. Even Rebbe would say that that would be no hay during the Bein HaShmoshos period of time. Now, we gave two cases here. The first case was the Erev being blown outside your tchum, and the second case was the Erev was covered up with the rubble. So why do we need both cases? Utsrich, you need both cases. The ton and Niskagel, if we only had the first case that the wind blew it outside your tchum, you know what I would have said? Mishum delay segabe, it's not with you, and therefore, you and your Erev are not in the same location. However, I will know for of gal in the situation where the heap of rubble was on top of you. So you know what I would have said? The Ise Gabe, it's right next to you. And even though it's inaccessible, so maybe it still would be a good Erev. Emo lehevi Erev. That's why you need to tell me the case of the gal. If you only told me the case where the rubble's on top of you or your Erev, I would have said, Mishum demirsi, because it's covered up and you can't see it. That's why it's no good. Abel Nisgalgel, where it blew outside the Trum, I can still see it. So maybe I would have said it's still good. Zimnin, the Osi Ziko, Maiselite. And in fact, the wind may blow it back. Just like the wind blew it out, the wind could blow it back. Emel, heavy Erev. I might have thought it's a good Erev. Therefore, Kamash Malon, Sricho, you need both cases here to tell me that in both cases, it is no good. With this, we'll conclude today's share.